It's Food Friday. Cooking for yourself doesn't have to mean eating the leftovers of the same meal every day all week. It also doesn't have to be a chore. The author of a new cookbook says cooking for one can be an opportunity to take good care of ourselves. Anita Lowe has been named one of the 10 best new chefs in America by Food & Wine magazine. She owned and operated the New York-based restaurant Anissa until 2017. She's the author of the new cookbook called Solo, a modern cookbook for a party of one. Anita, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, I think a lot of us have been here, either if I lived alone or when my family's not around, I'm used to cooking for them. And I'm thinking, why go to the trouble of cooking if I'm the only one who's eating that food? Can you talk us out of that attitude?
Well, I mean, I think it's cheaper to eat at home, first of all. It's also healthier. I think studies have been shown that instead of, you know, going and getting that burrito or, you know, some fast food, once you start cooking at home and buying real ingredients, you're already, you know, 50% of the way there. And it can be fun, and then you can eat exactly what you want.
Yeah, my inner turmoil wasn't always go out to eat versus stay in, but sort of a half-hearted effort, you know, peanut butter sandwich again. Why not? It's just me. But we can actually do something fun and compelling all by ourselves when we're cooking for one.
Absolutely, and it doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, you can do something that's, you know, almost as easy as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, boil some pasta, throw some tomatoes on that, and some Calabrian chili. Delicious.
And a big part of your book is also another worry that I have, how to not be wasteful. Because I worry, oh, if I buy this whole thing of whatever fresh herb or, you know, a big chunk of meat or whatever, oh, I'm going to waste like half of it because I only need a little bit. So how do we be mindful of how to do those serving sizes for one but not waste all the stuff?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of tips in my book for that. Herbs are hard. I mean, I think you need to sort of grow your own. I do have tips, or you can, you know, there's usually recipes for to be able to use up everything. And there's a little don't waste it section for each recipe. Like if I only require like a half of an avocado in a recipe, I'll direct you to another recipe that uses up that other half.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's, I mean, you know, you do need to, you know, I suggest getting a weight scale and weighing out your ingredients so you know exactly, you know, instead of eyeballing a thing of pasta, you know, 4 ounces is standard, weigh that out. And then you're not going to have too much.
And
yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do.
And a common theme in your book, as I go from recipe to recipe, is that kind of premeditation, like you were talking about with the avocado there. You know, thinking in advance, so when you have time on that night alone, doing a lot of the groundwork so that when you need something quick in a few days or next week or whatever, you pull something out and you're ready to rock.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of recipes like that that are sort of longer recipes, but then they're several, you know, you can freeze them and then it lasts for a long time and it'll take, you know, no more than 5-10 minutes to bring up for dinner.
Talking to Chef Anita Lowe, her new book is called Solo, a Modern Cookbook for a Party of One. Well, speaking of recipes that reward that early investment, one of the ones you've shared with us, we have it up at WPR.org/foodfriday, is a pork and garlic chive dumpling. So you say it could take an evening to get it done, but then it freezes really good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then all you have to do is take it out and cook it from the frozen state. And, you know, dumplings are great because they've got your meat, they've got your vegetable, they've got your starch. It's a healthy meal.
So talk about the filling for this pork and garlic chive dumpling. What all is going in there?
Well, you know, there's variations on that theme that go on forever. But I think the one that I did was just ground pork. I think there's a little bit of shrimp in there, but you could leave that out. Some garlic chives, which are these flat Chinese chives. Those are also optional if you can't find them. Scallions, soy sauce, a little bit of sugar. I think that's it. And then you just wrap them in, you know, some store-bought wrappers. And it's, you know, it's sort of a nice meditative experience, for me at least. And I don't know, it certainly an investment in your future.
And I'm a little intimidated by the dumpling wrapping concept because, I mean, even going back to elementary school, folding and cutting and pasting, I was never good at. Is this something with a little practice we can really get on a roll?
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, does it matter what they look like? No.
I mean, it's just you.
Yeah, no one else is going to look at them. And, you know, if you really just want to fold them in half and glue them together, that's fine.
Right,
you know,
we've got that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, one recipe in the book. We don't have this up, but I wanted to bring it up. A lot of your recipes are about embracing the joys in some ways of being alone. But you've got one that rolls with, you know, when you're in a bad mood about being alone. This is the name of the recipe. A single broken egg on a bed of torn, wilted, bitter greens with blue cheese. Talk about that one.
Well, you know, I think since I was the chef of Maxime's, which was way back when, you know, every Valentine's Day we had to do a special menu. And, it was always such a cheesy holiday, you know, for me. We did hearts and pink things and red things. And I always thought it was important to do something for the lonely person. And so every year I would do, I just got cheesier and cheesier as it went on. And we did a lot of plays on words like that. And I think my first one was a monkfish, you know, monk with on something. I don't remember. It had clams on it as well. It's been fun to come up with.
Yeah, and I love you've got the greens. It sounds really good, actually. The cheese, the egg, some prunes, a lot of fresh herbs, and the last ingredient, a healthy dose of self-pity.
Well, there you go. The most important one. It's okay to mourn.
Well, let's get to another recipe that we have shared. Actually, let's stick with that egg theme. This is, check me on the pronouncer here, a yokodon with dashi. Translates as parent and child over rice. Talk about this one.
Well, it's oyakodon. Don is sort of a rice bowl. And oyako, I don't remember. Anyway, so it's basically like some chicken thighs. I like the thighs braised in dashi with a little egg stirred in at the end.
So that's the chicken and the egg. That's the parent and child part.
Yeah, which came first? Yeah.
And dashi is not a household name, I think, in Wisconsin cooking. What is that, and what do we do with it?
It is the easiest stock to prepare. It's easier than making chicken stock. It's easier than anything. It's got three ingredients: water, bonito flakes, and kombu, which is a seaweed. It's a kelp. And you can buy the last two online, you know, or I'm sure you can buy them at your health food store. But it takes, you know, if you wanted to, you could do it in 5 minutes.
And this one, the egg goes on, I think you mentioned, at the last moment, and it you put it over the hot rice and stuff, and it just sets like that. This is a pretty common thing, I understand, in Japanese cooking. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, this is a pretty classic Japanese dish.
And getting away from the solo part of your book, you are a big fan of merging foods from a lot of different traditions, right?
Well, yeah, I don't believe that, food has borders. I think culture is mutable and food is constantly changing. You know, cuisines, definitions of cuisines are changing. It's like language.
And you're a fellow native of southeastern Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. Some of your recipes seem like they're inspired by a lot of the Middle Eastern cooking that shows up in the greater Detroit area.
Yes, exactly. Yes, my girlfriend's dad is also Lebanese. So,
a lot of good stuff out of that. We're talking to Chef Anita Lowe. Her new cookbook is called Solo, A Modern Cookbook for a Party of One. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Whether or not you live alone, what are some of your favorite things to make for yourself? Do you enjoy cooking for yourself, or does it feel like a chore to go through a whole recipe for just one person, and that one person's you? Or do you love that opportunity? Like, I like to make some things that I know my family doesn't make. The beets come out, for example, when I'm the only one eating it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Anita Lowe, chef and author of the new cookbook, Solo, A Modern Cookbook for a Party of One. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you cook for yourself all the time and only yourself all the time, or maybe sometimes when the rest of the family is out? Does it seem like a chore, a bother to you, or do you love the opportunity? If you're consistently cooking for yourself, have you figured out some tips, some ideas to keep it fun and not too much work? Or do you have a question for our guest? She cooks lots of different stuff. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Garrett is with us in McFarland. Garrett, hi.
Hi there. Hi. Well, there's a dish that I bring out that my mom used to make for me when I was a kid. No one else would eat it but her and I, and it was oyster soup.
Uh-huh.
But it went together so quickly. I mean, it was literally whole milk, two cans of oysters, some diced potatoes, butter, salt, and pepper. I mean, it goes so fast, and it's so flavorful, so delicious. Over the years, I've kind of ramped it up and done different things to make it a bit more elegant than just canned things. But it's just something, once people taste it, the thought of it, they don't like it. But once I can finally get a spoonful in them, they're like, oh, my God, this is delicious.
And, Garrett, do you look forward to chances when you know it's just you eating tonight and, okay, I'm making this oyster soup, I don't care what anybody says?
Oh, yeah, the lights go down. It's on. I'm all by myself.
All right. Garrett, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I'd try it if you put it in front of me. The oysters aren't at the top of my radar. Do you have anything like that, Anita, something that maybe goes back to your childhood that you are looking forward to the chance to make for yourself?
Gosh, you know, there's the embarrassing things like Kraft macaroni and cheese, which isn't really a recipe per se, but... Yeah, you know, I make my mom's steamed fish quite often.
Steamed fish. And what kind of fish do you use for that? So, or I guess depending what's available.
Yeah, depending, yeah, what's available and what looks best at the market.
Garrett,
it's always good to deal with that once you get there.
And staying with the soup theme, that's a great thing to make for yourself because, you know, you make as much as you want and then freeze whatever you're not going to eat in the next couple of days. Do you have any favorite soups to recommend from the cookbook?
I don't think there's any other soups. Oh, there's a noodle soup in there.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's a Korean beef and kimchi noodle soup that I like a lot. But that is, I made that for one. But yeah, no, I love making like big pots of soup and keeping, you know, containers in the freezer.
We've got another recipe you shared with us up at WPR.org/Food Friday. This is a steamed artichoke with lemon and herb butter. And I got to say, I grew up not eating artichokes. So when I encountered them, it seemed like, oh, this is a special fancy meal, big production kind of food. It's simpler than I think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you just have to boil it.
I love
artichokes. Yeah. Yeah. No, nothing better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't even have to make like a fancy butter. Just use the butter. Or like in France, just, you know, get it cold and use your favorite vinaigrette.
And it's a lemon and herb butter that you have in this recipe. I'm just stirring lemon and fresh herbs and butter and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And for people who are unfamiliar with the artichoke, because again, the first time I encountered one, you know, a whole artichoke on my plate, I was like, what the heck do I do with this? What's the part you eat? Talk us through the eating of an artichoke.
Well, you know, it's a bud of this thistle, and it's got little leaves on the side, and you pull off a leaf, and at the base of the part that attaches to the flower, there is some meat, and you want to just scrape that off with the bottom of your teeth. And it's really delicious. And then once you get down to the center, there's the choke. There's a little hairy part that you don't want to eat, hence the word choke. And you scoop that out and discard it. And then you've got a heart, which is like the best part because it's just a lot of that same meat that you've been pulling off with your teeth, only it's in like a big chunk. And that, you know, I usually like to put a little bit of salt on that because even if your water is really salted, it doesn't always make it to the core and then dip it in whatever you're dipping it in and eat it. It's fantastic.
Talking to Anita Lowe, author of the new book, Solo, a modern cookbook for a party of one. She says, hey, even if you're just cooking for yourself, you can still have fun with it and make a great meal. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences cooking for a party of one. you and what some of your favorite things are to cook when you're cooking just for yourself. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Anita, sprinkled through the book, you've got some basic tips on how to make some of these core basic things. And some people I know have trouble with like white rice. It's easy to get it too dry or too goopy. Do you have some tips to make sure we get it right every time?
You have to measure it, like use like a measuring cup. It's usually one part rice to 1.5 parts water. So the general rule of thumb is a half a cup of rice per serving, if that's sort of the main part of your dish. And so if you're using half a cup of rice, you use 0.75 cups of water.
Now, is that white rice? Because I'm great with cooking white rice. Brown rice, it never comes out exactly the way I want it.
Oh, it takes a little bit longer, and maybe you add just a little bit more water. Maybe another tablespoon of water to that, it should be fine.
Oh, so that fiber kind of soaks up the extra water for us there.
Yeah, and then you just bring it to a boil, stir. I'd like to, especially the white rice, you need to rinse a couple times. And then drain, and then measure out the water that you put in. Cook it, bring it to a boil, cover it, turn the heat as low as it goes, and just wait, 20 minutes for white rice, maybe 25, 30 minutes for brown rice.
And it's fall here in Wisconsin. There's a lot of great food, I imagine. In New York, there is too. What kind of seasonal ingredients have you excited, whether you're cooking for one or more than one right about now?
Oh, well, Concord grapes are fantastic right now. I love them. There's a lot of great pumpkins that are coming out, although this year there's been too much rain, so they're not as dense. Yes, it's fall. It's all sorts of squash season. Beets are fantastic. All the root vegetables. We have potatoes coming out of the ground right now. Delicious. New potatoes. Yum.
And we are just past Halloween, of course, and that means we're going to start thinking about pies for Thanksgiving and beyond. And you've got a few pie recipes. Now, I got to say, I try to avoid making or buying a pie if I know I'm the only one who's going to eat it, because I will eat it all. Is it? You've got some solo pie recipes in here. What are good ones to make for ourselves?
You know, I think if you make a crumble, a crumb topping, which is pretty standard, you can keep that in your refrigerator or your freezer for quite some time, and then you can make little individual fruit crumbles with whatever fruit is in season. That's great. And that actually also, if you roll it out, you could use that like a pie crust.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And I didn't look closely at the pies, I will admit. Do you go for like hand pies when you're making things for yourself?
I used a little mold that I had. It was just like a little individual tart mold, which you can buy. I'm pretty sure you can buy that, Bed Bath & Beyond anywhere.
Now, how about what's a good late night? You've been out, either you work late or you've been out with friends, doing whatever with friends. What are some of your late night solo cooking quick go-tos?
Ooh, pasta. Yeah, pasta is always fun. I was talking about that pasta recipe. I have, I have a couple of recipes where you just take dried pasta because it's there. Usually you have it in your cabinet. And there's one with Calabrian chilies and grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes that I particularly like. I think there's one with charred lemons. That's in that book. What's not in the book is just sort of oil with oil and butter and garlic and pepper. Yeah, cacio e pepe is you just have that. It's just cheese and pepper and
and goodness.
We've got a tweet from a listener, Karen, who tweeted a picture of her son's weeknight dinner for himself. I don't have a description of it. I'm going to say it's like little pork medallions, mashed potatoes. I'm looking at some greens. You can look at it yourself at Central Time WPR on Twitter. Do you, when you're cooking for yourself, Anita, does visual presentation matter to you? It does to Karen's son, apparently. Doesn't to me. How about you?
Yeah, it does, but it's because I've been trained that way. Yes, 30 years in the business, this is how it's done.
Well, and that's what I wonder as I'm reading this whole book. When you come up, you cook all darn day. You've been doing this for 30 years professionally. Does it ever feel like work when you're cooking for yourself, or is it still fun just to cook at home?
I think it's fun to cook at home, but, you know, when I'm in New York City, I don't cook so much. But when I'm out in Long Island, I cook a lot more because I have a much bigger kitchen there. Yeah, and if I'm, you know, if I've been working all day, you know, if I did my 12 to 14 hour days, which is standard in the restaurant business, no, I'm not cooking for myself when I come home.
And sometimes maybe just a doggy bag from the restaurant you've been cooking at all day.
Exactly. Or, you know, that's not true. Sometimes I'll make a salad.
Not bad. But, Anita, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking to Chef Anita Lowe. She joined us to talk about our new cookbook. It's called Solo, a modern cookbook for a party of one. Still time for you to let us know about your solo cooking endeavors, whether you steer clear of it, go super easy, or just order in when it's just you, or if you go all out and make yourself, you know, it could be simple, but make yourself a really yummy meal. You can send pictures too. You can go to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And of course, you can always find a lot of recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. From Anita, we have their steamed artichoke with lemon and herb butter, pork and garlic chive dumplings, and the other one. Here it is, oyakodon with, and I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, with dashi, that thing with the egg on top. There's rice. That one looks really good. Check them out and recipes from past guests as well. It's all online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Try them out. Let us know how it went.